Wow. Okay, that's...
Yeah, you're
that's,
there.
That's working.
Yeah, we're good.
We're good. All right. Let's just keep that going, and yeah. I will clip off the beginning.
Let me get my data here. What's the humidity in Greeley, Colorado right now? 62%.
Wet.
What's 46 degrees in Celsius? 7.8. 8 degrees Celsius. Okay. That's my data.
That's your data? Okay. And we'll get this all recorded all in one take?
Yeah.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. It's, what the heck is
yeah,
it?
What is it? 6:46.
6:46 a.m. on Friday, September the 17th, 2021.
Yes. 48 degrees, which is like 8 degrees Celsius. 64% humidity.
Wet morning here.
Indeed, damp.
All of the people who are living in the South are laughing.
Yeah, really.
You have to remember that a wet day here is anything more than 40%.
Right, right. As soon as I got here, instantly my lips started chapping.
Yeah.
And my dad had to hook me up with some Carmex.
Yeah, right away. So, for those of you who may not be familiar with the buttery man voice walking along beside me here, Mr. Dave Robinson, story and song, fabled.
In song. The man, the myth, the legend. Yeah.
The mustachioed.
The mustachioed Robinson, yes. This is going to be a simulcast.
This is,
because you're going to send me the audio for this. I'm going to put it up on the North Pond Monologues.
Yeah, yeah, you bet.
And, of course, see, and this is what I love about this. A year ago, just about, I came out and walked with you and was inspired by it. And so I started doing my own. You name yours Talking on My Morning Walk, which is direct, forthright, and to the point.
It is what it says on the tin.
Exactly. The advertising is direct. I went with North Pond Monologues. Because
why not?
Yes, exactly. Exactly. Oh, man. And, you know, when we started the walk, it was so cool that I didn't need you to guide me and tell me we're turning here, we're going here. We just kind of fell into step.
Yeah.
Which was lovely.
Well, you're the first repeat guest.
Right? Right.
I've had one guest.
Right, Lathe.
Lathe came.
Yeah.
And wanted to walk with me.
I'm going to have breakfast with him in Des Moines on Monday as I drive back to Chicago.
Back to Chi-Town.
Yes. What a city. What a city. I love that place. And it's weird because, you know, I visited it.
Do not cut our flowers.
I will not cut those flowers.
That went up because somebody was in there cutting flowers when I walked by.
Really?
Oh, some lady.
Good grief. That's a bit rude.
Yeah, well.
Make yourself at home with our flowers.
With our foliage, yeah.
But,
talk to me about Chicago.
Yeah, so I'd visited Chicago a couple of times. I used to live in Bloomington, Illinois, and I'd take the Amtrak train in the morning up to Chicago and just spend the day up there and walk the Magnificent Mile and catch a blue show on Halsted Street or whatever, and then train back in the evening. So I knew I liked the town, but moving there and living in it, immersing in it?
Yeah.
Oh, It is unlike any other city I haven't lived in that many cities.
I was going to say.
Yeah. But I lived in St. Louis for a while. And that's a good city, too. But, man, I don't know what it is. There's so much story in Chicago. And when you move someplace, that becomes part of your story.
Right.
So, you know, there's a lot of mythology around Chicago. So I think that's part of the reason why I like being there, is that I get to share some of that mythology. Be a part of it.
Yeah, I'm occasionally jealous. Not jealous, envious. I'm occasionally envious. Noisy trucks.
Yes. Well, and driving, hearing trucks and so on. I don't know if, are you familiar with Kareem Conflict? Kareem? He's a voice actor.
No.
But he's listened to both of our podcasts. Ah. Podcasts, whatever we call them.
Hi, Kareem.
Yeah, hi, Kareem. And he started doing his own. He doesn't do it daily, but he does it weekly. And he has to deal with trains. He's in the UK, so he has to deal with the trains through the countryside.
Well, I can tell if it's a windy morning by the trains here.
Really?
Yeah. If there's wind, I can't hear them.
Ah.
The air isn't still enough.
Right.
Because the track's 5 miles away.
It's far enough. Unless the wind carries the sound to you, you
once in a while, the wind will carry the sound to me. Once in a while, the wind will carry the
whiff.
The delightful whiff of Panera to me, too, which is not exactly what I need.
Yes. The smell of money. Yes.
Well, the smell of fresh bread. I still remember the meetups at Panera for breakfast at Balticon.
Oh, yes. Oh, wistful memories right there. Holy crap.
Yes. Yes, a trip down memory lane here.
Yes, indeed.
That was where I first met you.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
I knew you because we'd done the podcast by then.
Right. But we actually crossed paths at, and I don't remember if it was at the Hunt Valley or
It was definitely Hunt Valley.
Okay.
Yeah. You were walking around with a tablet and you had it plugged in.
Oh, yes, that's right. Taking interviews, doing snippets, asking questions.
Getting answers.
And getting answers, getting good answers. Inspired.
Old guys talking about the old days.
The old days, the glory days.
The good old days, yeah.
God, I haven't been to Balticon in 3 years now.
I haven't gone, I think, at least that. I haven't been able to go since I've been CFO of CIFWA.
Yeah.
Because it's the same weekend.
Right, right.
Well, when it was in person, it was the same weekend. Now it's virtual. And I just don't have bandwidth.
I was just going to say, bandwidth to engage on that level.
Bandwidth is pretty shot.
Yeah. Lovely sunrise.
Sun's coming up nice.
Yeah.
That's a good sign.
Yes.
Sun coming up is usually a pretty good sign.
Beats the alternative.
I always look for that in the morning.
Yeah, yeah. Sun? Okay. We're ahead of the curve.
Okay, we got a morning going. That's okay. We'll follow through with it.
My grandfather, who lived to be 102, used to wake up and say, "Oh, I'm awake. It's a good day."
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good. How you doing?
Doing well, thanks.
That's one of the regular NPCs.
Yeah.
That's the athletic T-shirt guy.
Athletic T-shirt guy. I too have named my NPCs.
Have you?
Yes.
You have some regulars, do you?
Oh my goodness, yes. In fact, I've introduced myself. Some of them have become friends. Because when you move to a city where you don't know anybody,
yeah, sure.
You're gonna make some friends.
But well, you're gonna make friends wherever you go.
Fair point.
I'm gonna sit in a corner and ponder.
There you go. Look, observe,
collect.
But I had Fae Jogger because he looked like a Fae. He looked like an elf. And he moved like an elf, so I called him Fae Jogger. Grumpy Gnome, who I have not met yet, because she's a grumpy gnome.
Well.
But she's head down, earbuds in, walking. Grumpy Gnome. Chill Dog Dude, because he's walking around the park, dog off a leash. And it's like, whoa, dude. And the dog was so chill, just whatever. So his name's Ken. The dog's name is Spencer. Faye Jogger is Kyle, who I actually am gaming with now. I got him into D&D. But yeah, I mean, you see those people all the time and your brain instantly associates something, whether it's athletic shirt guy or, you know, Faye Jogger. We come up with those titles so they can occupy a space in our brain.
Yeah. Poodle Man.
Poodle Man.
I haven't seen Poodle Man. I see Poodle Man a lot. He's walking a little bit later. I haven't been as reliable an indicator lately. So I'm walking at different times.
Really?
I have to get out early.
Yeah.
Because of the heat. It's getting better.
See, I get out early because of the people. Because if I get out late, then there's people all around me. And I feel like a jackass talking to myself as I record the walk.
Yeah, I can see that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, I try not to talk when I'm walking past people and stuff.
Yeah.
Because it's...
You don't want to make them uncomfortable.
Yeah.
And you don't want to sound like a crazy person.
I'm okay with being crazy.
True. We're creative folk. Crazy is our brand.
Crazy is our battle cry. You ready? Yep. You gonna do it?
Say it with me. Monk Paul. Woohoo!
And we didn't get tangled up in the wires. Right? I was watching the wires.
We've got a configuration going here. Hopefully, the audio has come out much better this time than last time.
I can't help but think it has to. Sort of has to, don't it?
Yeah, I was going to say, can't get a whole lot freaking worse. So you were talking...
Not that much smoke here, is there?
No, it's a fairly clear blue sky. And I'm sure that's an indicator of prevailing winds rather than...
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
Necessarily an improvement on our fire situation. You were talking about the never-ending story, the endless file.
Oh, yeah, the file that never ends.
File that never ends.
It is the file that never ends. I got through it.
Yes.
A second draft, or first full pass after draft.
Nice.
I like it.
Well, and that right there, anything beyond that is gravy. You know, if you're content and happy with the tale that you have told, if it says what you wanted it to say, or discovered what it was supposed to say.
Yeah. Well, it was like, okay, what am I going to do with Ishmael now? Because one of the ongoing themes is, you know, when you're young, you say, oh, I'm going to have these goals. We're going to try for this. We're going to do that. And then the unforeseen happens.
Yes.
You achieve it.
And now what?
And now what?
Yes.
And now what do you do?
Yes, you achieve your life's goal. What's next?
Yeah, and there's still, like, life left.
Yeah, yeah. I was supposed to ride off into the sunset. No. You're still breathing.
There's now a running gag in some of the games that I've been playing. When a loved character dies, they have the final scene, and there was supposed to be a lie.
Yeah.
I've seen that now in two different games. It's in Mass Effect 2, and it's in Fallout 4.
There was supposed to be a light.
There's no light. There was supposed to be a... They always said there'd be a light.
Well, and the other thing about life and youth is you go in with expectations. You've lived your life this far. You have observed media. You have seen other people and made your interpretations and assessment of them. And therefore... Life is like this. And when I go out into the real world and get my job, it's going to be like this. And then it isn't.
And then it isn't.
And that doesn't stop, man.
No. That's why the log line for Ravenwood with Tanith Fairport is, you're never too old to make a bad decision.
Yes. Yes, which is why that series is particularly poignant and authentic, I think. Because you are never too old to make a bad decision.
But it was... So I got to the end of The Seeker's Tales, and Ishmael needed to do something. And I couldn't... The reason I haven't written anything for so long with him is that I couldn't figure out what he was supposed to do. And it's like, well, you dipstick. That's the story.
There you go. That's the story. Figure out.
How do you go about figuring out what to do once you've become rich and famous?
Yeah.
Where do you go from there?
That's the aptly named Seeker's Tale.
Yeah. Thank you.
Well, and you know, I had speculated that the canon of Ishmael that's made it to print was just a small percentage of what had actually gone through your head, and you disabused me of that.
I have disabused you of that. There's very little that I know about Ishmael until I write him.
Which I find utterly fascinating.
The universe, I have some idea about the universe.
Well, yeah, you kind of have to.
I had to. I said it before, I probably have to say it 100 times before I kick it, but when I was writing the science fiction, I had to figure out the economy.
Right.
When I was writing fantasy, I had to figure out the orbital mechanics.
The orbital mechanics.
Because I needed to know when the festivals were. I needed to know when the holy days were. I needed to know how many months there were. I needed to know when was harvest season and when was not.
Well, and I would imagine in the context of a discovery writer, that's vital because you need to set up that environment.
Right.
Wherein the action, how did you put it?
Oh, plot? Plot is what develops. Plot is what emerges when characters interact with each other and their setting.
Boom. And you can't do that without setting.
I can't do that without setting. And I already have character. So I have character, I have setting.
Bunny.
Oh, look at him.
Fierce bunny.
Solid bunny.
I got nothing to say to you people. Move along, humans.
There's nobody here. There's nobody here.
God, he is. He's either terrified or tough. One of the two.
I'm going with tough.
Yes.
Because the reality is probably terrifying.
Yeah. And we are storytellers, so let's make it a tough bunny.
So, yeah. I can think about him as much as I want, but until I put the fingers on the keys and he starts saying things and doing things, I don't know who he is.
That's intriguing. And that is a method of storytelling that I can look at from the outside and go, wow, but I would think I would have a hard time embracing as an actual teller of the tales.
Let's just sort of pause here while they deal with their dogs. Yeah, it's one of the reasons I think I have so much trouble with outlines.
Yeah?
I can't outline. I've tried outlining.
Well, I think you've said in the past, you're bored.
I'm bored. But
by the time you finish the outline, you've told the story.
I told the story. I know what the story is, so I don't need to discover it. There's nothing to discover, so why write it?
Yeah.
But Salt was different.
Yeah?
The book I wrote with my daughter.
Yeah.
We each had a half to write because we each had a character to write.
Okay.
So it wasn't too bad. And so we sort of roughly figured out where we were going to end. And
charted your own course to that end.
And we each charted our own course to that end. And.
Splendid.
What came. When we started to reconcile the two files, we'd each written 18 chapters.
The apple doesn't fall far from the tree.
And she was like, because she wrote one character and I wrote the other character, and people who read it are pretty savvy about who wrote which half, but we each have a pretty distinctive voice.
I was going to say. Well, and you sent me a draft of that, didn't you? I read that. That's the Horse Riders.
Yes. Yeah. I think I did. Yeah. And so now we have to write the next one together.
Literally together.
Literally together, because we don't have two parallel storylines.
Right. That's going to be a challenge.
Two different characters and two different settings that merge at the end is one thing. Two merged characters in a single setting.
You're going to have to outline.
I give her the challenge. Write the outline and I will write.
Actually, write the outline. Don't tell me the outline. Well, just tell me the objective of the chapter I'm writing.
No, so I've given her the task to write a 40-sentence outline. Do you know the 40-sentence outline?
I do not.
40-sentence outline is you divide the book into four quarters.
Okay.
So you cut the big middle act, two, into two.
Okay.
And then you write one sentence for each, 10 sentences for each quarter.
Okay.
So the first act has 10 sentences. It would be 10 things.
Right.
10 plot points, 10 somethings.
Yeah.
And you just repeat that.
Huh.
And if you write 2,500 words per chapter,
there you go.
You got a 100,000 word novel.
Interesting.
And I picked that up at Smarter Artists Summit. It was something that they do, Sterling and Stone does.
Huh.
Because they have that big industrial model.
Yes.
Of self-publishing.
Right. This is the golden standard, yes. That isn't.
Nothing, I've got nothing bad to say about it.
Yeah. If you write good stories, your process, meh.
So, I've used it a couple of times,
yeah?
Myself. It's actually helped me sort out Zyphiria's Call.
Interesting. So the outline concept, anyway, is not completely anathema to you.
No, it's just difficult for me to visualize because I don't know what's going to happen next until I wrote what happened.
Do you tell the story as you outline, then?
No, I can't, because I don't know it.
Yeah.
Because there's no setting, there's no characters, it's just in a sentence.
It must be very clinical for you, then, as you start charting things out.
Yeah, yeah.
From a plot perspective.
It gets a little clinical, it gets a little mechanical, it gets
right.
A little prescriptive.
And then, of course, once you're writing, the outline can go out the window.
Yeah, once I'm writing, I'm always writing something better than I thought was going to be there. But because my whole process has been revolving around write what happens next, and even the first chapter is write what happens next, so the challenge with an outline is you don't know what happens next. You only know what the bullet point before it was.
Right.
And when you're starting an outline, you might have a starting point, but you don't really know how that point develops.
Sure.
So if it's very difficult for me. It was handy because I discovered when I was trying to put together the second Tanith book, I kept writing, and I realized that I'd written past the end of Zyphiria's Call, and I was actually writing the beginning of the next book. But I couldn't figure out how to end Zyphiria's Call without writing the next book. And I thought, what am I doing wrong here? And, you know, the axiom, start late, leave early?
Right.
I started too late. Oh. I started in the second act.
Oh.
There was no first act. There was no beginning. There was no...
So rather than finding out where to end the book, you need to find out where to begin it.
It showed me that I had the right story. I just didn't have the right pieces. So it has worked, mostly ex post facto as a diagnostic afterwards. It's like, okay, what the hell is going on here?
It's good to have a diagnostic afterwards.
Sometimes you have to.
Editorial template to overlay and go, oh, that's wrong.
I tried using Save the Cat.
Yeah. That's for screenplays, though, isn't it?
Well, it's allegedly for storytelling.
Yeah.
Generally, it's like... Well, the same problem. It's too prescriptive.
Yeah.
Anyway.
We ramble. We blather.
We do. And we are at the proverbial back gate. 25 minutes.
Look at us just chattering away like a couple of fishwives over a fence.
A couple old men.
A couple old men on a walk.
On a walk. So, this is a point where I usually say, I'm at the back gate. Tomorrow's another day. And with any luck at all, I'll talk to you then.
And between now and then, whatever happens, despite everything, create. Add to the stories of the world, and we'll do the same. And we'll see you later.